What is the worst thing that could happen to me? What is the worst thing that could happen to me? Interest to let the Jews live. And so he says, you know, King, if you will just give me permission to exterminate all the Jews, I'll be glad to carry it out. And by the way, I'll deposit 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury. So the king thinks about it for a while and he says, well, you know, Haman, you do what you want to do. And by the way, keep the money. To Mordecai's plea to help the Jewish people. She says, in fact, the king has this law. Any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he should be put to death. The only exception is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. She sends that reply back to Mordecai, and Mordecai sends this now famous message to Esther. Mordecai says to Esther this: don't think that because you're in the king's house, you're alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Says to her, and who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. read the end of the story. It turns out okay. Esther makes the right choice. She saves her people. She retains her position. The evil Haman is hanged for his treachery. But I want to know how she was enabled to have the courage to make that kind of choice. I want to know how she was enabled to go to the king, to risk her own life, to risk the lofty position that she had attained for the sake of saving her people. I think it's found when Esther says this: "When this is done, I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I perish. I perish. I perish." Resolved what we all have to resolve in making difficult decisions, and it's this question: what is the worst thing that could happen to me? The worst thing, I suppose, that could happen to me in any decision that I have to make is I could die. I don't do anything. Well, I could still die. You can do nothing all of your life and still lose your life. I've decided that I want to die for something that counts. I've already decided that I want my life to make a difference. I want to finish well. I want to live by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Behind Esther's ability to make difficult decisions was the courage of her conviction that allowed her to say, "Some things are worth dying for." Now, here's one of the real secrets of difficult decision making. When you decide what's worth dying for in your life, are you ready for this? Decision making gets easier. When I stop and think about it, maybe that's why God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. It goes without saying. Because, now think about this. If God isn't working behind the scenes, there is no cause worth dying for. James Breach believes that the loss of transcendence in our culture has brought us to the place where nothing is worth dying for, and hence, nothing is worth living for. Because when you stop and think about it, if there isn't anything worth dying for, there really isn't anything worth living for either. He goes on to say that in this country, the prevailing thought used to be the death of God. He says that's no longer the case. The prevailing philosophy today is that death is God. And you stop and think about it, how much time and attention our culture gives to death. We talk about when we die, how we die, coming back from death experiences, wrongful death suits. Death is the reality that controls life for many. And if this life is the only life, then there is no purpose, no preparation, no provision, no sense of timing. There is just despair and there's indecision because there is no basis upon which I can make a decision. Now you may be saying, "Well, you know, that's true. I'm not an atheist and I'm not an agnostic. Why are you talking about those kind of ultimate reality kinds of things?" Well, I'll tell you why. Because too many Christians I know live like they're atheists and agnostics. Without God, indecision abounds. And why shouldn't it? If I choose that, I die. If I choose this, I die. Neither choice offers dying with a purpose, with fulfillment. Death makes a comedy of the discrepancy between what we say we love and what we really love. Dying is the death of all ownerships, and if owning is life's greatest achievement, as so many in this life think it is, then death is life's greatest tragedy because it is a bleak disinheritance. But with God, there is a purpose. Theologians call what we have been talking about the providence of God. God working in circumstances in our life in ways that we could not see, guess, or imagine to bring all things together for His greater good and purpose. It means the hand of God in the glove of human events. When I know that God has gone before me, when my faith enables me to really believe that God has gone before me, that He's working all things together with me, then I can have the courage to decide. Which brings me to this very simple question that I want to leave you with. As you look at your life right now, let me just ask you Mordecai's question. Is God calling you for such a time as this?